Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Inspire Life podcast. My name is Michael. I'm one of your co-hosts, also your producer. And today, I'm excited to share with you an interview that I did with a friend of Inspire Life and a certified professional coach, Mr. Paul Behnke. Paul spent most of his career working as a classical musician. And working in this role, he learned performance tricks to train his brain to think what he needed it to think when he needed it to think it. When he turned those same skills to taming the negative thoughts of his inner critic voice, he realized he had the power to not only transform his own life, but the lives of others as well. As a certified coach, Paul specializes in helping his clients transform that little voice in their heads that argues for their limitations into a champion of their potential. So, without further ado, let's have Paul take it away. All right, well, welcome everyone to the Inspire Life podcast. My name is Michael. I am your co-host and producer, and today I am interviewing Paul Behnke, who is a certified life coach. He is a mindset specialist, and I feel like you can probably explain better who you are and what you do. So you want to start? Just tell me a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So yeah, mindset, when you mentioned that, really what I love doing is helping people use their minds in conscious ways. So the thoughts that they have are the conscious ones they have. You know, I spent many years as a classical musician before I became a coach. And one of the things I learned there was how to use my mind to help me play music. And actually, there was one point in time when I had some tendonitis and I wasn't actually able to physically practice much, but I still had a lot of notes to learn.
Okay.
And I learned how to learn these notes, this physical activity of playing, by using my mind, by sitting in a chair and imagining myself practicing.
Yeah.
So my fingers were not moving.
Yeah.
But my brain was doing the same thing that it would otherwise, you know? And that ability was really turned out to be one of the more effective skills that I picked up there. Then I realized, you know, I could use this mind training thing, if you want to call it that, in a lot of different ways.
For sure.
You know, what's going on in my mind now? Is it helpful or is it not? And if it's not, what can I do to retrain it so I have habits that are more helpful?
Yeah, that's really cool to hear. And, you know, speaking with Dr. Mel and knowing there's a lot of even research coming out about the power of the mind, and something that she says all the time is your thoughts matter and your thoughts become matter. So being able to really be dialed into your mindset is really powerful. And, you know, me, and if you're listening, I love golf, and I read a book called Zen Golf. I'm not sure if you're a golfer, but the premise of this book and the biggest thing that the author talks about is visualizing your shots in your mind before you hit them, not thinking, oh, I want to do a good swing, or when it comes to mindset, like, oh, I want to maybe do well, but it's actually visualizing the entire process and what's going into it. So
yeah, absolutely.
Really cool to hear. So you mentioned,
go ahead. Interesting to just jump in. I haven't read The Zen of Golf, but many years ago when I was in college, I did read a book called The Inner Game of Tennis.
Okay.
Which was kind of a hot one amongst musicians at the time, because it was about really being present and how to play tennis in a way that is filled with the present moment and the most attention and energy you can bring to it, which really applied to performing as well. How to get all those extra thoughts out of your mind. And that was a pretty powerful, powerful thing there.
Yeah, and you've mentioned it just there, and I've heard you talk about it in the past, is how a lot of times within our mind we have different voices, or I know you've referenced it as the inner critic. So can you just explain more about, you know, in your personal life or when you work with clients, how you see that show up and how using our mindset to overcome that is a really effective strategy?
Yeah, well, you know, we've all got a little conversation going on in our head all the time. And if any of your listeners thinking, well, actually, I don't, that's the voice that I'm really talking about.
I love it.
There's some little conversation going on in our heads virtually all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what our brain does. That's what it's good at. And that's one of its strengths. But it has a tendency to develop habits that aren't so helpful. Usually comes from the fear center in our brain, the amygdala, trying to keep us safe, you know, telling us stories about things that it think might be dangerous, so we don't go there.
Yeah.
But it frankly doesn't care whether the messages are true or false. It just wants to keep you safe.
Right.
So it makes up all sorts of stories. And and just these thoughts that we have become habitual.
Yeah.
And some of the thoughts that are habitual are helpful. Mm-hmm. And some are not so helpful. You know, I think many of us can think of all those times we feel a bit tortured by that voice that goes on. And I know that's something I've experienced even as a performer a lot. You know, performance anxiety is really that little voice in your head.
Yeah.
Saying for sure. You're really not good, you're not prepared sufficiently, this isn't going to be right. You know, all these reasons that everything is going to go wrong. That's just kind of what happens so naturally. And learning how to change those habits into ones that are helpful is such a powerful, powerful skill, powerful ability, because it can literally change your entire experience of life.
Yeah, that's powerful. And when you were talking about that kind of, how having that thought in your head, I was thinking back to the golf course and how it's like, okay, if I have a shot and there's like a bunker in front of the green, if I think to myself, don't hit it in the bunker, I'm going to hit it in the bunker.
Yeah.
The voice already told me that. The voice already made that decision. And that's what occurs. So like you mentioned, overcoming that voice and being able to change it and have it become something that's more salutogenic, that's going to be more helpful for us. Tell me about how you've done that, either for yourself or with clients. You know, what is actually a little bit of the process, if you can share that?
It's actually an astoundingly simple process. I mean, I go into more of these steps. There's actually a free video that you can access through my website, actually, that answers this very question,
Perfect.
Believe it or not. But basically, the first thing we have to realize is that these little voices in our head, the self-doubt that we have, is just a habit. It's not magical. Some people think about, you know, I've got this voice in my head that is so powerful, and how do I get rid of it? And it just takes over their lives. And all it is a habit.
Yeah.
So just realizing that sort of takes away some of its power.
Okay.
And what you want to do is sort of find out what is the lie that that little voice is telling you.
Okay.
Its intent is good. It's trying to keep you safe.
Right.
But as I said, it doesn't care whether what it's telling you is true or false. It just cares whether it keeps you safe. That's the only thing. Mm-hmm. And all these self-doubts and self-judgments that we have, there is some lie underneath them. You know, you're not good enough. That's a pretty big lie. Actually, we're all good enough.
Yeah.
You know, we are just fine the way we are.
Yeah.
If there's a message that you're not prepared enough, now that's an interesting one, because maybe you are, maybe you aren't, and that's something you can control. You can prepare more.
Right.
You know, but if it's you're never prepared enough or it'll never be good enough, that's another lie. But anyway, uncover these lies and figure out, this is what it's telling me and this is not true, you know? And once you've figured that out, the two really important steps, frankly, if you miss the first two, it doesn't matter so much. The next one is you got to create the thought that you want to have. What's the one that's supportive of you? What will bring energy to you as you're doing whatever it is that you're doing?
Yeah.
And once you figure out what that is, then all you have to do is practice it.
Yeah.
Like you practice your golf game.
Okay.
Or like you practice a musical instrument. Or like you practice lines for a play. You do it over and over and over.
Yeah.
You know, I once had this experience, actually. There was an affirmation. There was something that I wanted myself to be thinking, actually, about abundance.
Okay.
And I realized, you know, I got 20 minutes on this train from downtown Minneapolis to downtown St. Paul, and I've got nothing else to do. I'm just going to say this affirmation to myself over and over. And it took me a few minutes to sort of refine it and craft it in a way that felt really authentic and really powerful to me.
Yeah.
But once I did that, I just repeated it over and over and over. And when it was particularly noisy on the train, I might actually say it out loud, so there was something more physical, you know, in it. And I was astounded that after 20 minutes, only 20 minutes of this, how my view of abundance in the world completely changed.
Oh, yeah.
And that was only 20 minutes of it.
Yeah.
So if you spend a few minutes a day and you do that for a week or a month or 6 months, it has an astounding effect to change what goes on in your mind.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I think a big piece of that, and something that you bring up, and especially when it comes to if you're saying affirmations to yourself, or even if you're just trying to make any change that takes work, it's that it takes a lot of effort. And it's not always, you know, in the moment, maybe it's not the easiest thing to do. But like you said, being able to figure out a strategy to have it come out in a very authentic and real way, that's what's going to, I think, bring you those results that you truly desire when you put in that work too.
Yeah.
Right.
And actually, I might actually modify something that you said just a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it takes necessarily a lot of effort.
Okay.
Because all I had to do was think. That wasn't hard.
Right.
Thinking at the very first time is new. And so there is a certain amount of effort to get yourself to do it once.
Yeah.
You know? But then once you do it, you realize you didn't die. And so it's not so bad. And if you can do it once, you can do it twice. And if you can do it twice, well, you can do it 500 times.
Yeah.
So it takes some self-discipline. That is true.
That's what it is. Okay.
Yeah. But it's not hard to do.
Right.
It just says, oh, I need to do this and be aware of what are the thoughts that are creeping up in your mind. And when they're the unhelpful ones, simply notice them.
Yeah.
You don't have to fight them. You just notice them, say thank you for your opinion, and turn your attention to the one that's more helpful.
For sure. I love that too, how you know, bringing up that it doesn't have to be something that's, like you said, difficult.
Yeah.
But something that, like you said, conscious effort.
Yes.
Utilizing the mind and being very intentional about it.
So. Yes.
We mentioned a couple times how these can manifest in different ways, that I'm not good enough, I'm not prepared enough. I'm just wondering, you know, is there any that's you see that's more common throughout our culture? Are there ones that maybe people do that are, it's something that's really hard for them to notice? And I'm wondering, you know, where you come in with your services and how you really help people be able to make those changes. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So, well, I'll give you one little secret that comes from all of this, is that all of these self-doubts and self-judgments and unhelpful thoughts that we have, if you really boil them down, they almost all come down to some version of, I'm not good enough, you know? And so that's really where we're going to find the juice. Mm-hmm. There's some belief that in some way, something is flawed, something is broken, that I'm not who I am supposed to be. And of course, that's the big lie, that you're exactly who you're supposed to be and you are right where you are supposed to be in this moment. So, you know, this shows up, of course, in practically an infinite number of ways. It can show up in procrastination. It can show up in avoiding things, which sometimes looks like procrastination.
Yeah.
It can sometimes show up as judgment, either of yourself or of others. I mean, there's so many, many ways that this all shows up. But it all really, in the end, comes down to some version of I'm not good enough. And so what I really try to do with my clients is help them discover what's their particular version of the lie, and to help them see that, first of all, is a lie, and that they are where they need to be, which immediately opens up all sorts of other possibilities for how they could think about things. And that's where the real power is when they begin to see opportunities to choose.
Yeah.
You know, we live with these default thoughts. We grow up and we have them. I called them habits earlier. And we're usually not aware of them until they maybe start causing us troubles. And then, for whatever reason, we start looking into them and we become more conscious of them. And that's the really powerful moment, is when you're conscious of it, because then you have a choice.
Yeah. For sure. It sounds like, you know, sometimes if we're living in a climate and it's extremely foggy, we can only see so far in front of us. Once that fog lifts, it's great, we can see a lot, but it's still overcast, and it's kind of like there's steps and layers to it. Is that what I'm hearing?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, transformation, well, it can happen like a lightning strike, but it's not the most common.
Right.
And it takes that self-discipline and that persistence. And that sort of faith and trust that if I'm going down this path, this will get me closer to where I want to go.
Yeah.
And as long as you stick to the path, you do. You know, there's a great story, actually, that I've heard Abraham Hicks talk about.
Okay, yeah.
How, you know, when you're going from one city to the next, you look at your map and you can see the road, and so you're driving along. And, you know, you don't drive along saying, I'm not there yet, because you realize you are getting there.
Right.
And you don't stop halfway and say, oh, I'm never going to get there, and turn around and go home again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's so often what we do when it comes to changing our lives, changing our thoughts, is we get started down that path and think, it's not happening, I give up.
Yeah.
When you just stay on the road and you're going to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not magic.
Yeah, and having that kind of destination in mind or having a vision of where it is that you're going, being able to link the journey to that, I think is really important. So,
yes. Awesome. Because really what's most important is not getting there. Mm-hmm. It's the journey on the way.
Absolutely. Yeah. Awesome. I do want to switch gears a little bit and talk a little bit about you. So
sure.
You're an awesome coach. I know Paul has worked with a lot of clients who have seen a lot of great results. And I just want to ask, you know, how did you get into coaching? You know, what are the parts you enjoy about it? Anything that you want to talk about, share about what you do?
Sure. Well, thank you. Yeah, so I think I maybe mentioned a little earlier that I spent quite a few years as a classical musician. And there were three big clues that sort of came to me during that time. One was that although I found it sort of an honor and a privilege to make a living that way, and I enjoyed performing, it wasn't really deeply satisfying to my soul.
Yeah.
You know, it's something I could do and enjoy or not do. It didn't matter that much to me. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, that's an interesting clue.
Yeah.
The second clue was when I was teaching, I found that really fulfilling and exciting because the way in which I taught was sort of not the, shall we say, stereotypical music teacher way of student plays something and you tell them everything they did wrong and what they should do right to make it better, you know,
yeah.
Maybe not so inspiring. Instead, I tried to really work on asking my students questions to get involved in their own learning. I would try to tell as little as possible. I had some things that maybe could help, you know, and say, let's look under this rock.
Right.
But really it was mostly about helping them discover what they wanted and loved, and they found that really engaging and motivating and inspiring, and I loved that work.
Yeah.
Helping them to sort of uncover what are their own hidden thoughts, limitations, feelings, which is what I had done really as an artist. Mm-hmm. You know, to back up a little bit here, you know, being an artist, there's much more to it than simply mastering the tools of your art.
Right.
Because really being an artist, I think, is mastering oneself and becoming aware of your own beliefs that limit you, your own fears, your own hesitations, your own stuff that gets in the way.
Yep.
And I did enjoy that kind of work, and helping students do that was really fulfilling. So mm-hmm. There was my second clue. My third clue was I started looking at what's all the reading that I had done for fun all those years as being a musician, and it was almost never about music. It was always about personal development and psychology and mythology and spirituality and all those other things.
Yeah.
And when I realized that, I thought, oh, you know, being a coach is the obvious connection between all of these.
Yeah.
And so what, in my own mind, felt a bit like a split life between this public persona of being a musician
right.
and this closeted coach, shall yeah. we say,
okay.
you know, personal development junkie, I realized I could bring these things together.
Yeah.
And lead this really unified life. So that's kind of what got me
yeah.
into the coaching world.
That's really cool. It almost sounds like coaching kind of found you.
Yes.
After some time.
It kept calling me.
Yeah.
Book after book after book. And it was interesting, after many years of reading these books, I realized I'd read the same book about 600 times, you know, from different authors.
Right.
But so much of this is all aiming at the same thing. Mm-hmm. These different perspectives are really helpful. But I kept realizing that, oh, we're all going in the same place over and over and over.
Mm-hmm. And I like what you mentioned, too, is that that was what you almost kind of felt like was your deep soul calling, right? Was to be able to do something to help other people be in a transformative space. And that's what really gives you a lot of purpose in life.
Yeah. You know, if you were to ask why it is I do what I do or why do I get out of bed in the morning, mm-hmm. why do I get out of bed in the morning because I want to experience a life as filled with abundance and joy as possible.
Yeah.
And I actually believe that abundance and joy is everyone's birthright.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my belief.
That's awesome.
And about why I do what I do.
Yeah.
Because there's so much suffering in this world. There's so many people who are unhappy with their circumstances, their situations, and they're not seeing a way out. And there's always a way out.
Yeah.
So
that's powerful.
Yeah.
I love hearing that. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. The last thing I want to ask is just, you know, how can our listeners get in touch with you?
Uh-huh.
And anything else, any closing words that you want to share with them?
Yeah. Well, the easiest way probably to get in touch with me would probably be through my website,
mm-hmm.
which is just my name, paulbenke.com.
Yep.
I'm guessing you'll include a link or something written for people so they can figure out how to spell this weird name that I've got.
It'll be in the description.
Yeah. So there's a contact page with there. That's probably the easiest way. You can find me on, you know, Facebook and LinkedIn as well.
Yeah.
But those are probably the easiest ones.
Excellent.
Yeah. And, you know, the only message I really want to leave with people is there's always opportunities, there's always choice, and there's always a way out of whatever negative circumstances you find yourself in.
Awesome. You guys heard it from Paul. There's always opportunities. So thank you so much for coming to be on the Inspire Life podcast. And, you know, we're going to do this for the long haul. So I can imagine we'll probably do it again. So.
Great. Well, it's been great fun, Michael. I've enjoyed it.
Awesome. Thanks so much. And for those of you listening, as always, keep inspiring.
Did you enjoy today's episode of the Inspire Life podcast? If yes, please like and subscribe on whatever platform it is you're listening to today. That way you can stay up to date on the Inspire Life podcast as we continue to produce content for you. Also, hop on over to Facebook and join the Inspired Living community. There, Dr. Mel and I show health, wellness, and life strategy tips to help you live the most inspired life possible. Until next time, keep inspiring.